Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here today again. Back with me in the studio, Derek Diener. Derek, today we want to look at the movie that's coming out that you've been involved with now for, a couple of years?
Yep, 2 years.
Brave the Dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, the storyline I basically know, but let's just talk about that. How do you make a movie?
You know, I will ask the same question. How do you climb Mount Everest? It's almost as hard, and you get some casualties along the way, but, you know, in terms of just like emotional casualties, you
right.
know, it's a really, really challenging thing to do. And I don't think sometimes people don't quite realize the challenge that it takes to make a movie. It's, you yep. know, you're starting up, it's essentially a startup. So you have, mm-hmm. you know, you're building a completely separate entity for this and you're getting okay. investment money for a film. I'm talking specifically about independent film.
Right.
You know, if you're working with a studio on a project or a streamer now, you know, they'll fund it or it could be a little different, but it's still, you're starting up this organization. It's still the Correct. Same idea and you're staffing up. So we're bringing from Make Films, we're bringing, you know, certain crew on and
sure.
certain people to kind of lead certain things. And then you're bringing, you know, union for Brave the Dark specifically, it was about, you know, bringing union representatives from all different organizations. And then, you know, scaling up to make this company that can then execute the film. And rewinding about, you know, how Brave the Dark was made, you know,
how'd you get the idea?
Well, it wasn't my idea. Okay. It was first Nate Dean, who it's his story.
Yes.
You know, he was the, you know, 17-year-old boy from 1986 that was homeless and dealing with so many different things in his life. And, you know, when he grew up and braved the dark, you know, basically
right.
he started thinking, and Stan, who was his mentor and adopted father,
yes.
Said to him, like, you know, you should write your story down. Like, it's such a great story. I think people would be interested to hear it. And Stan always had this idea, like, it's Nate's story, you know, like, it hardly, there's almost like this false humility of like, oh
right.
yeah, I didn't have anything to do with that. Where he was like,
right.
yeah, you were the teacher that changed his life, you know?
And, he's an amazing guy.
And yeah, he was, yeah, so well. Such
yeah.
an amazing guy. And he was always encouraging Nate to write his story down. Mm. And so one day Nate, you know, he works at Sight and Sound Theaters as a producer and walked over to a guy who was there at the time named John Spencer, and he was a writer, and said, hey, let's just sit down. Would you be willing to write with me? You know, then John just, instead of putting it into a book format, instead of putting it into a blog format, whatever, he put it into a screenplay format,
okay.
script.
Sure.
And, you know, was interviewing Nate, and they were going back and forth. And like the next day, I think Nate said he came back with like 13 pages or whatever it was, something like that, of Nate's story. And the first title of it was called, I think it was called This Little Light of Mine, because there's these moments where Nate was a kid during some of the trauma and
right.
somebody was actually singing that song to him. And that was like the first name. And then it eventually, between John and Nate, eventually, I think John actually coined it, but eventually between those two named it Brave the Dark.
Okay.
And
sure.
really, it was just an idea that, and Stan was involved. Stan actually helped write some scenes in the movie too.
Okay.
And then at one point when they did a table read with Stan playing Stan, Stan is still, it was so humbled by it, and that we hardly could even, I think, take the recognition that
right.
he really made this kind of impact on not just Nate, but on the whole
sure.
New Holland community.
Right.
And then, you know, fast forward to after a couple of years, Nate met this guy named Paul Griffin, who was a local Lancaster County native for a while. And he was involved in film, was starting up a production company called Inspiring Films, mm-hmm. where he partnered with Grant Bradley and Dale Bradley from New Zealand and a couple mm-hmm. other people. And they were trying to find a good Lancaster story because they were, you know, raising money to make the movie here. And they wanted to tell a story that was based out of here.
Right.
And then that's when Grant and Nate met, and they said, okay, let's do this. Let's start this process. And that was 5 to 6 years ago. I'm forgetting now, since I started the film, I think it was 4 or 5 years. And now it's been almost 6-7 years. So then, you know, they started to develop the script and got some outside writers, and Grant and Dale were trying to find people to play Nate and Stan and all these people. Mm-hmm. And they were able to find this incredible director, Damian Harris, and then his brother, Jared Harris, who is was in a lot of different films and series over the years, you know, said he'd play Stan. And he just completely fell in love with that character. And when he came here to do research, met with a lot of people and really did a great job, kind of his version of Stan. It's not, you know, if you know Stan personally, right, and you watch the film, you know, I'm sure, I mean, I knew Stan well too, and I feel like Jared does an incredible job, but sure. It's Jared's version of Stan. It's just a beautiful interpretation of that character. And yeah, then casted this guy, Nick Hamilton, who played Nate, who took on that role and did an incredible job as well. And so it because of, you know, the way that films work and partnering with different people and different companies, it was a very kind of organic thing that it developed. And they had this really great, I guess what you try to do is you're developing intellectual property. So right, try to get the best package and the best kind of team to make it happen. And then COVID happened and it kind of, like everything, it kind of derailed things for a bit. And, you know, Dale and Grant were from New Zealand. They were stuck in New Zealand with the COVID restriction. They couldn't come to Lancaster. And Paul was still involved, but in a different capacity. And so it was just a challenging time. And so then I knew them and I knew Nate. Of course, I knew Nate and Stan. I've been hearing about this for a while. And they asked me, hey, would you come in and kind of be our production partner, make films and produce it on the ground level here in Lancaster and raise the rest of the money. They had a tax credit and some different things in place, but raise some more money to make the movie locally. And I said, I believe I can. I believe that this is possible, and I believe that, like, they had such an incredible base for us to work from with the story, with how Nate and Stan and John developed it, and then even the next step where there was an outside writer team with Dale Bradley and Lynn Robinson Hay and Damian Harris, the director, also did some development. And I just believe that the community was ready to kind of take this on. And 2021 was also a great year just for raising money because of the stock market kind of took a rebound, and there was lots of money out there, really. And people were so willing to come behind this film. And we found 45 different investors from Lancaster that all came together to
from Lancaster.
From Lancaster. One from York, but all of the rest from Lancaster. Yeah. And it was, you know, I started with my like mentorship group and people that really had helped me over the years grow. And they knew my trajectory. They knew I wanted to do movies. And they said, you know, we believe in you. Mm-hmm. We're going to invest in this. It came down to, I still think it just came down to the fact that Stan was such a prolific influence and such a strong character in this community that people really cared about his story being told. Right. And it had this heart behind the story that was so strong that it brought, you know, the investors to the table, but it also brought great filmmakers to the table. You know, our cinematographer, his name's Julio Macat. He shot Home Alone, was his first movie, and he shot, you know, over the years, Pitch Perfect and tons of films, Ace Ventura, actually. And lots of different films in his career. And, you know, he can now take on whatever project, like he can work as much as he wants, I guess, or as little as he wants. He's, you know, been doing this for so long and just really cared about this film and wanted to make Nate and, you know, Stan's memory proud, and the people involved. So, you know, lots of different people came together, and it was this interesting whirlwind, but also incredible team that came and made the movie. And I was just trying to get out of the way in some ways. Like I was trying to say, you know, I'm like a steward of this, like what's the best movie that we can make together. Right. And
But you're the producer of the movie, right?
Well, yeah.
So the buck is stopping with you in a lot of ways.
It is, yeah. And I took the kind of the financial responsibility in a way and said, we can raise this money, even personally guaranteeing things to make it all happen with a tax credit, and really put, I believe so heavily in the film and believe so heavily in the story and cared maybe too much. Sometimes I cared so much about it that I got, you know, in terms of things that I've learned, I mean, the emotional component of being so emotionally invested in something and having so much kind of, you know, on the line too, was always how I do things. I'm kind of all in, but I think there's a lot of moments within the film that I needed to just take a step back and be maybe a little more pragmatic or a little more, less emotionally driven and less maybe frustrated sometimes, or, you know, all those things with how things would go or people or, the struggles that I had with, you know, even just the financial side and like working with unions. I mean, we had really great people, but it's just learning to work with unions and how that works and, all the small things that add up to be big things. And I feel like it's also just like a different way than when you're running a business, you're building like positive cash flow and you're building, you know, every year and then, you know, you're growing and you're doing these things. But when you have a film, you know, you raise all this money and the whole idea at the end of the movie is that you spend all the money and then you sell it. And so it's like it's a negative cash flow or like a burn rate. It's like a startup. And you're doing things the opposite way than you're running a traditional business sometimes. So those are all the things that, just a couple of little things, but big things.
You know, of all the processes you've gone through and all the production and everything, what was the hardest for you? You know, was it work with people?
I think between the unions, but mainly, I mean, the people component was the hardest. It was just like, you're also, you know, we were in 2021 when we filmed it in the fall of 21. So, and then we did all post-production in 2022. But in fall of 21, it was like we were in the, you know, really in the trenches with COVID. The unions had really strict COVID restrictions. We also didn't want anybody to get COVID because it would have derailed the whole day. And you know, you spend a lot of money every day and it was a small indie production. It'd be hard to recover from some of those things. Right. So you're constantly trying to protect the integrity of the film and the health of the people. But then, you know, there were staffing challenges because we were in a really, like COVID stopped production. And then at that time, it kind of, they said it was like 130% or like busier than it's ever been in the, in the history of production. Wow. So just finding people to work and to just like everybody else, we're having staffing issues but we ended up getting an incredible team. We ended up finding the people to make this movie, but that was a little bit of a challenge. And then we're in Lancaster. We don't have the infrastructure yet.
Right.
You know, we're still early. I'd say, because we're growing that. Especially the union infrastructure. So we're bringing people in from New York and Philly and even LA and Baltimore. And so you're bringing people in, housing people. So the cost, all the costs elevate because we're hoping to go more local, but we just didn't have the union talent to pull from. Mm-hmm. So, and I think the challenge too, for me was as a newer producer, I was learning every day and you're putting out fires every day and you're, I'm a positive person and I'm always like to like hold on to something positive to positive. Mm-hmm. But it can be really hard when you're constantly in like, you know, you're 20 locations in 26 days of shooting all over rural Lancaster. And
so the whole thing was shot in Lancaster County.
Yeah. There was a couple scenes in York County because of a
court. But it was South Central Pennsylvania,
all,
the whole thing.
All of it was here. Yeah, all of it was here. It was the biggest film to shoot in Lancaster since Witness.
Really?
Yeah. And so we bit off a lot, you know, and we, you know, succeeded with a film that we're really proud of and that tells this story in a very beautiful way. And it's tough because you're flashing back to Nate when he was a kid and some of the, without spoiling the movie, just some of the challenges that he went through, and it makes it really, really hard. It's hard for the crew sometimes when you're telling these types of stories, and people you know that didn't have maybe even a spiritual understanding would say, "Oh man, you know, like this things are just coming together." It's like I feel like it's just the spirit of Stan is just guiding this thing. Or, you know, there were some incredible, miraculous things. I mean, the way that the movie, even the way that before I was involved, the way that the script developed and then the way that Inspiring Films took that mantle or took the baton and, you know, casted and got the team involved. And then the way that the investors came to the table and just made the movie possible. And then the way that the community, like, you know, people like the Holiday Inn and downtown and the Marriott, and they gave us incredible rates that, incredible rates, less than 50% of what normally we would charge. And the tax credit, the way that happened. I mean, there was literally I could make pages of lists of the things that you would, that shouldn't have happened, that happened, mm-hmm. the miracles that happened to make the movie possible. And so, that's why I say I'm just kind of a steward of it. I feel like I am as the producer, the lead producer, like leading the charge, but I'm also very aware that I'm just a steward of something bigger, that it almost seems like it was written before I started, mm-hmm. you know, the journey. It's like the people that were involved on the investor side that needed to kind of make this possible were all, most of them were friends or friends of friends. I mean, they're all like really good people that, believed in this with me, you know, they took a really big leap of faith and wrote the checks.
Sure.
And, you know, we also invested personally from Make Films, Ash and I personally, to make it possible. And, mm-hmm. you know, Nate and I mean, a lot of people did too, to make it possible. And, you know, time and energy. I was essentially running, you know, two companies, because you have Make Films, which was the commercial brand. Mm-hmm. And you know, I heard the bells going on at the same time with the Sight and Sound film and Brave the Dark. But I'm just so thankful that our team that we have, on the Make Film side, on Brave the Dark, on I Heard the Bells, everybody just stepped up and grew so much. It wasn't, I had to really just kind of step away for a bit and just focus on this film to make it possible.
Exactly.
And so, it's such a partnership thing too. And that's one thing that I learned too, on how to, to grow in that partnership thing. How do you have a shared vision and bring people in, and how do you like trust them with certain things, but then give them, expectations and lead that way. I was used to so many times leading an employee driven company.
Right.
And then now you're doing more of a freelance driven, kind of subcontractor driven organization with, other producing partners and other people that are involved. And sometimes I realize that, you know, wow, this is different than I expected, working with a freelancer or somebody different. And understanding that, like, this, the values driven thing, and like making sure that we're always working with people that care about how other people are treated and really care about the content, care about the outcome is important. I really cared about that. And sometimes I'd care too much. Like I said, I would care so much about the outcome and of the content, and I would care so much about people, the way people being treated. And in the moment, I was doing the things that I thought best for the film. And sometimes I look back and I'm like, you know what? I didn't maybe handle it the perfect way.
Sure.
Like, no, I didn't handle it perfect.
Nobody does.
It's not possible.
Yeah. So you had the production phase and then the post-production phase,
Yeah.
Now, is the film through that? Is the film really completed?
The film was completed
What are the next steps?
Yeah.
How does that work in that industry?
So now we have an agent that we work with, basically, that they take your finished film and they're in conversations with us the whole way through. We met with her, Jessica Lacey is her name. We met with her last 2021 when we started. She was also involved before I was involved too. So we had a good, like I said, that they set up a good package, and she was an agent with Jared Harris's agency. And that's how, we were able to kind of connect with her.
Right.
And she is, navigates the market. I mean, we had an investor screening to just show privately to the investors who made the film with us, made it possible. And, everybody loved those tiers, and just, they love the film. And when we have a strong film now, it's okay, how do we navigate this market? Mm-hmm. Because, theatrical's down and streamers are kind of leading the cause, but there's lots of nuance and challenges with the market. And there's also lots of positives, but it seems like right now the market is just all over the place. So you have somebody on the front lines of the sales market that is navigating. So the first couple of months here of the year, we're navigating that market and screening it to buyers and showing the film in a greater way here to get the right distribution plan and timing with that. And, unsure exactly what that's going to be. It's a little bit, there's, learning, patience, but also aggression. It's like, I told you earlier in the previous podcast, I think I love sports, and it's like, if you see a running back, in the backfield, it's like, they have to have patience, but they also, when they see that hole, they got to run through it as fast as they can. And that's a little bit of production. It's like, you're patient. And then when you see it, you got to go for it. And I'd say probably life, the timing is, I mean, I think in life, timing is so big. Mm-hmm. And not being, and maybe some peace is good with that too. Peace, right. And patience and the, right, timing and understanding that timing and the way that things are orchestrated and the way that God kind of brings things together, right, is a lot about timing.
Yeah. So, wow. So you're looking to do more films in the future?
Yeah, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. People ask me that a lot. Like when I tell about the challenges.
Yeah, really.
I love it. It's such an exhilaration. It's like, I went through so much the last couple of years with Brave the Dark and I Heard the Bells as a Company.
Yeah.
And that I know that it will set us up.
Didn't they film the whole trailer? Didn't you do the whole trailer for that?
For I Heard the Bells?
Yeah.
So we did all the production. Yeah,
okay.
Except for we edited the feature, the film, mm-hmm, and everything. The shorter trailer, that, you know, they used the trailer,
right,
house to do that. But
right,
everything else we did on that one. So we learned, wow, so much. It's like, you know, I'll be so much better prepared for the next films that we, yeah, do. And we have, you know, we have things in development for the future that we're really excited about as well. So,
usually you think film, you think, well, maybe Los Angeles, New York.
Yeah.
So you see Lancaster as a place that could be lots of films.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a lot of stories to be told.
For sure. Lancaster is going to be a huge hub for film. I know it is.
I mean, believe that.
We're like right around the corner from Rock Lititz here in this building.
Exactly.
And I drive by that and I say, where were they, you know, 15 years ago? And my goal is to see a campus like that for film in the city, though. I want to do it in the city. Mm-hmm. I want like a block or a couple blocks of not just make films, but like other production, sure, companies and, you know, with sound stages and 10 films a year being shot here. So that's what,
wow,
I see. Yeah.
That's so cool. For those of you listening today, check out the show notes, get information on Derek and Make Films and Brave the Dark and et cetera, et cetera. And anything else you want to share with our friends today, Derek, about leadership and anything else you learned about leadership in the midst of Brave the Dark and film and all that,
yeah,
before we close out today?
I think the biggest thing that I learned is how much belief and your heart and the heart behind making, especially a film, telling a story, the heart behind it,
yes,
moves mountains. I mean, it's like the biblical principles of, you know, sowing and reaping,
right,
and, you know, the power of the tongue and belief and kind of, you know, the steps of like just taking steps, little steps at a time that lead to big things.
Right.
I think that's my interpretation of what it says about moving, you know, even the moving of the mountains thing. It's like,
right,
it's not always like an instantaneous thing. It's a thing over time that you see, and you have to have the discipline and you have to have the constant belief almost to the point of,
right,
of not insanity, but almost to the point of like, everything else seems a little bit crazy. How is this still possible? But you still believe.
Yeah.
And if you're able to do that and have strong heart and belief behind it, then like legitimately anything is possible.
That's so good.
And people come along with you. That's
right.
And if you want to really think about it through leadership,
yes,
is that you get such buy-in when you, and then you ask for people's belief with you and say, mm-hmm, like, yes, this does seem a little bit insane. You know, it does, mm-hmm, seem like the goals that we're having are pretty challenging or maybe, you know, as a realist and a pessimist, impossible,
right,
but like,
right,
it is possible. And then when you have those, when you have those little bit of successes, every little step of success is like a little bit of like a notch in the armor or,
right,
a,
right,
a, like a, yes, okay.
Sure.
Okay,
I can do this.
I can do this. Yeah. Even for me, you know,
sure,
for all of us, even the visionaries need that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it just keeps you going. I think entrepreneurship and like insanity can be like a little bit like a degree apart. Entrepreneurship, successful entrepreneurship is just insanity that proves out.
Right? That is right.
Maybe insanity is too strong, but you know what I mean? So,
yeah. And I appreciate you being a man of faith, you know, and, you know, the whole God factor and all this.
Yeah.
You've done that so well. And yeah, for years, you know, we've felt like this area should be a place that produces good films,
mm-hmm,
you know, good,
mm-hmm,
stories mm-hmm, that change people's lives.
Yeah.
And just seeing you do this is so thrilling, you know,
yeah,
for us.
Yeah.
Watching spur you on.
Yeah.
For all that you're doing, man.
I appreciate
it's awesome.
That. That's,
yeah,
our vision is to make something meaningful and making meaningful films and,
yeah,
things that impact and, yeah, change the way that we do things or change our perception. And, you know, they talk about films as being like an empathy machine. It's that is what happens when you watch,
yeah,
a film. It's like that thing where you walk in a mile in another person's shoes. It's like,
right,
that's what a movie is, you know,
right,
walk, you know, watch somebody else's perspective for 2 hours or an hour,
yes,
and a half. So
yeah,
it has incredible power. You know?
Yeah. I'm sure you'd say if God can use Derek Diener, he can use anyone, right?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, I've said that about myself many, many times, and it's so true. Yeah. Thank you, Derek. I'm so thrilled with all that you're sharing with us, all you've learned, all you're helping other people now and then have to learn the hard way by sharing these things with them. And I believe there will be many, many, many films coming out of this area, and the dream you have in your heart, I believe that's going to be accomplished. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. Everybody, thank you for joining us today for Larry Crider Leadership Podcast. We're learning these small changes we can make that make a major difference in our lives and the lives of those we serve. Check out the show notes, Derek Diener, Make Films, and Brave the Dark, and much more. And we'll look forward to having you back next week. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.